Satan has been judged. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. John writes to the church in Asia Minor and says that the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God has appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, you notice the one destroying the works of the devil? Jesus. Jesus is the one that destroys him, not you. Here again, let's get the theology correct. Some of you have been led astray by false teachers teaching false things. And just because things are horrific in your life, I mean, you know, a loved one gets ill. You know, I see it all the time, and I'm not laughing at anyone's calamity, because if you know anything about me personally, I've gone through some stuff. Let me share one with you so that you know before I say this. Well, no, let me say it first, and then I'll tell you what I've gone through. A lot of you people listening to me, every time life comes your way and you call yourself a Christian, you're freaking out. People are going to get sick. They're going to collapse. They're going to die. They're going to be in automobile accidents. They're living in the inner cities and they're black. They're going to be shot in drive-bys. They're Hispanics or possibly white. But primarily that happens in the black and Hispanic communities in the inner cities. It's a phenomenon that doesn't happen out in rural farmlands of America. You don't find former Jones driving by former Smith's children and blowing them off of the tractor. Drive by? Lord. No, only here where I live. And it happens so often. It's a terrible thing that a young black male or female dies at 13 years old. The lights are just out. Walking down the street going to the store at dusk. And a car drives by and just, but no one's going to church. No one believes in God. The preacher's all pimping. The whole community's just become a cesspool of materialism. So what do we do? What do? We go to the scriptures, Hebrews 2:14. You know what it says? It says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. In other words, Jesus Christ had a body of flesh and blood also, that through death that he might render powerless him. Who is going to render powerless Satan? Jesus has done that. Through death he rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So, let me get back to it. You screaming and hollering at a funeral, trying to pull grandma out the coffin, saying, why? I want to die too. And I, well, number one, you're lying. You don't want to jump in that coffin. If the mortician said, we can arrange that. We got one right here. Roll that fresh coffin out. What? You just said you want to get in there with your grandmother. It's not enough for two of you, but we will put you in this one and lock you up. And since it's a double grave, we'll bury you. Since you want to go with her, and you can be screaming in that 6 foot of dirt. She don't hear you because she's gone. But you? See, I bet your language would change. You know what? I've seen it. I've conducted funerals and seen people react so silly like that. And to one person, I just whispered, it's time for you to move on. Other people want to see this. And a person cussed me right there next to the coffin because they were putting on a front, a show. Look at John chapter 12, verse 37 in the New Testament. John chapter 12. What are we doing? We're using our Bibles. We can never get enough of that. Are you turning to the pages in your Bible? That's why I'm going slow tonight. I want you to go with me. And I don't want you to just become hypnotized by my voice now. Oh, listen to him. He's so articulate. You need to be quiet and turn the pages of that Bible. He says, now judgment is upon the world. Now the rulers of this world shall be cast out. See? That's what Jesus is saying. Stay in the book of John. Go to John chapter 16 and go to verse 11. Where Jesus says, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world, that's Satan, has been judged. See, Jesus is speaking in the present tense, not in the future tense. He said he has been judged. Satan has been judged and is lost already. We have the victory. So that's why when something happens in your family, someone gets sick, someone dies, someone gets shot in a drive-by and they were saved, you're going to miss them. I expect you to cry and everything, but I do not expect you to lose your mind. Because they have the victory. I was going to give you an example. Both of my daughters at this time were both attending UCLA. My youngest daughter was the driver. She had driven them both to the campus of UCLA. They were both going to their prospective classes after they left their vehicle. And my oldest daughter collapsed on the walkway there in the middle of the UCLA campus. And she was telling her sister, I can't see out of one of my eyes. Just collapsed. You see, Satan attacked my children. An ambulance came. They took her to UCLA Medical Center. I thank God that they went to UCLA because that's one of the most outstanding medical centers in the country. And my wife had recently gotten out of the hospital from having double bypass open heart surgery. And it was at that time that I was going through a tremendous series in the church and preaching and teaching when I had to be at my wife's bedside because she had a massive heart attack. And my wife had just come home less than a week. And my wife and I had had a conversation about how Satan works and attacks us. And I had just told her, I said, he's not finished with me. And she said, what do you mean, honey? And I said, he's not finished with me. He know he can't stop me. But now he tried to kill you. And I said, now he's going to mess with my babies. I prayed. And the test came. Well, we didn't go to see Delia at the hospital that day because I couldn't leave my wife. And no, I didn't call a lot of church people because that was our trial. Leslie asked me, she says, Daddy, what should I do? And I said, well, what you do is get the hospital room that she's in and you tell her that I will be there tomorrow. And this was on a Friday. Lucy and I had prayed. I'll never forget, on the Saturday, because Lucy was just convalescing, and so she wanted to go see her baby. Because the doctor had said that my daughter had a brain stroke, and that they had to shave off all of her hair, and they were going to do some surgery to try to rectify that. I mean, just like that. They said, we've seen this before. And they said, we found something in her brain. Now, this was the most serious, man, you know what? This was the most serious, to us, to Lucy and I, it was far much more serious than Lucy's heart attack. We're on the 405 freeway going north. It was bumper to bumper on a beautiful day in Los Angeles, California. The cumulus clouds was there. It was about 73 degrees. We're driving in the car, and Lucy and I, she said, thank you, Jesus, thank you. I said, for what, honey? She said, he could have killed me. I wouldn't even have cared. And I said, me too. I don't want to get emotional when I tell this. I am. Every time I think of it, because it's such a beautiful scene. A husband and wife sitting next to each other, in the Honda. Excuse me. Thanking God. Even for his, I'm not emotional, something got caught in my throat. Thanking God for his majestic mercy and giving him the right, if he pleased, to kill us. These are the words that we said. I said, Lord, you can kill my wife and I right now. Kill our children. Decimate. These are the words that I said. Decimate everything that I've ever touched. Poison my bloodline. Scrub my filthy face and life in the dirt. Plant AIDS in my body. Let me die miserably. I will love you with all of my breath and praise you. And I told him, if you blind my daughters, cripple them, and they live, I will yet love you. And you can kill us all in this city, in this state, with my last breath. I will praise you for your righteousness and your majesty. Lucy just looked at me and said, what kind of man did I marry? I was in tears. And I said, I love God. I love him with all my breath. He gave us food to eat this morning. Do you? And then we both got to laughing. Because we've always thanked God for the little things. We've never had a lot. Anyhow, after about an hour, because it was bumper-to-bumper traffic, and 405 wasn't moving, finally got to the medical center, parked in the emergency section, and Leslie, my youngest daughter, was there to meet us. And I was helping Lucy out of the car, and Leslie walked to us, and she had this look on her face. I smiled, and I hugged her. And I said, what is it? She said, Daddy. I said, you can talk to me. They can't find nothing. I said, what? She said, 15 minutes ago, the doctor came out and told me, your sister's going to be all right. They took another x-ray. They couldn't find it, the spot. And to this date, Delia only has a little bit of her peripheral vision that has never returned. I asked the doctor, when? You people, listen to me. You listen to me. I don't lie. I don't lie. I asked the doctor, when? Did you recognize something? They said about 30 minutes ago. 30 minutes ago, the exact same time when my wife and I was telling God, decimate us. You people listen to Pastor John. I don't have a miracle of a growing foot or a long arm. Millions of dollars. I'm in debt. We'll be in debt till I die. But when you exonerate God above your filthy, rotten, insignificant existence, he will move mountains. No, no, no. Not because he loves you so much, but because he is jealous. And what Lucy and I did, consciously but yet unconsciously, because we know that we are no match for him. He wants to hear you tell him to kill you and justify it by your sin. That is the ultimate proof that you are totally dead to you and alive to God. We've been talking about thesis and antithesis. See, that what I just mentioned to you is called Christian thesis. God is great, powerful. And you know what? If he had killed both Lucy and I on the freeway and had a slit throat rapist come out and cut my youngest daughter's throat, God is to be praised. Because he gave us life up to that point. I was having a conversation with my daughter, and I was telling her, my youngest daughter, how much I loved her and her husband and the children. And I was trying to tell them that they should get a gun, a pistol. I see you're living in a cruel city, a terrible. I said, you got to protect yourself. Her husband looked at me and said, Mr. C, he said, the same Christ that took care of you will take care of us. He said, I don't want that kind of a weapon in this house because of my babies. And I told him I was just speaking out of love, and he said, God's going to take care of us. He says, I married your daughter. I just want to share with you guys tonight. You need to die to yourself. There's too much me, myself, and I in our language. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is good. I'm liking this. I'm liking this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. You see, Christ did it all. And we owe him such thanks of gratitude for his magnificent work. How does Satan trick us so easy? Well, he uses strategies and tricks as weapons of spiritual warfare against believers. 2 Corinthians 2:11, I think we looked at that, but we want to glance back at that again. In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. See, the problem is, many professing Christians are ignorant of his schemes. I'm not. Are you? See, some of you preachers sitting out there heard my testimony about my daughter in the hospital, and she's alive and she's healed. But it's just like Abraham had to be willing to sacrifice Isaac. See, preacher, you think that God came to give you life. And every true man of God, just like when you look at Abraham and his son Isaac. Isaac was willing to give his son up. I wasn't, I guess in my way, I didn't think about it until just now. I was sacrificing my whole family. Why do you think Joshua stood out there and said, hey, choose you this day who you going to serve? Joshua said, I know, boy, I love a brother when he speak for him and his whole household. He said, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Now, you go ahead and choose who you going to serve. See, because I know some of you preachers out there, some of you dudes are listening to me, and you think that that testimony, he gave a testimony of Satan. Then that was a testimony of God. Preacher, you need to want to die. But I know how it is. You don't want to die, preacher, because you think that Christianity is about life. It's always been about death. Death and then resurrection. We will spend the rest of our lives dying that we might live. I want to help some of you people that got into this Christianity mess thinking that it's supposed to be giving you some money. Well, you can make some money. Just get out there and whore yourself. You can make some money. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Are you aware of his schemes? And you know what? He really likes to trick the single saint. You know, that unmarried Christian. A lot of folk are always telling me now, I really don't get it. I put pictures of me up on my website, and so when I first started this website, I called it a living website. I says, I'm going to have some new sound clips up there, new pictures of me. You're going to know how I look all through. Now, when you see the recent picture up there, one guy said, oh, you must like looking at yourself. No, I'm letting you know this is who I am, that I'm not a joke. I'm not like these pastors. Just putting up a picture, but it's not really me. That's me. If I get a stroke and my face is twisted, I'm going to take a picture of a twisted face and put that up there. The one that's on the website is a very recent picture of me. That is the way I look. Now, check this out. Somebody said, well, you got to be careful, John, because you're a good-looking man and these women. Forget these women. I try to tell every woman. And I'm not talking to a special lady that we had this conversation. I won't even mention her name. I'm not speaking about her. I am speaking about aggressive women that even have the mentality to think that they can pray to God and God's going to make me be with them. Well, over my dead body. I don't have time to be caring about a wife. Y'all are too needy, you need too much, you want too much, and I don't have no time to give you none of my life and none of my time. Because I'm married to God. He is who I want. I want him. I don't want her. Now, you can take those words and use it any way you want to and try to bring an accusation against me, and I just say, put your mammy in that thing too. I don't even see, because I just get bodacious when you try to see. Until you get on the freeway and ask God to take you over the edge and kill you and burn you up and give a public testimony that he did it, but then he redeemed you, don't talk to me, because you're wasting my time. Try to talk to young men, young women. If you're alone, I'm alone right now in the Lucy Coleman studio. My play son Timothy, he's in 29 Palms. He's a medic. He's working with those Marines. I live alone. I'm not lonely. I don't need somebody. I got Christ with me. Now, you know what? Satan knows your weakness. And he has a plan against that weakness. Gosh, I wish I really had time to get into Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It's a great part of the scripture where it talks about Ananias and Sapphira. When they had a piece of property, they were kind of prosperous and the church had a need, so everybody was taking a little bit of the money and giving it to the church. Well, Satan jumps into Ananias and Sapphira's life and tells them, well, when it comes time for the day to give the money, well, we'll go up there and lay it at the apostles' feet. Tell them this is all of it. We sold a piece of property and we gave all this money. But what happened is the Holy Spirit spoke to the preacher and told the apostle Peter when Ananias first walked in with his portion of the money. Peter said, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Ananias dropped dead. Then his wife came in a couple hours afterwards. They had buried him. She came in and Peter asked her the same thing. You can read it. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Read it on your own. It's a nice little story. And he said, is this all of it? Yes, yes. And he says, why are you lying to us? Hear these footsteps walking in? Those are the young men that just took your husband out and buried his behind. Why are you lying to God? Boom. She dropped dead. I wish I could have been there to see that. That had to be funny. Walking in there lying. You know, that would be like me giving a lying testimony about my wife and my daughter just to try to get you to feel sympathy. I don't lie. Only a weak fool would have to lie. I used to try to tell my congregation that years ago. I told them, I don't lie. Why would I lie to you? You did it. You ignoramuses. I don't lie. If I did it, I tell you I did it. I don't need, you know, and that is the funniest thing. I guess it's because the people have never met a pastor that don't lie. What the heck am I being a pastor for and I'm lying? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, come on, Doc. Everybody lied. No, they don't. Christians don't lie. The Bible says there will be nothing in heaven that worketh a lie. Now, I'm going to heaven, and I'm a liar. Right? Wrong. That's why God whacked Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. See, and Satan will come in some of your minds. I can show you, but I don't have the time. The simple truth is found in the text of the scripture that we already know. Because I know that each of us desires a certain part of honesty in our hearts. But I'm not going to take you beyond where I've just taken you because I want to leave you right there. At the Apostle Peter's table with two dead people just being drug out and you sitting at home listening to me telling God what a mean and ornery and unloving man I must be to give a Bible study like this. Some of you are probably saying my pastor told me about you and he told me that you was just mean and unloving. I'm going to tell you something. If a preacher's not preaching to you the way I'm preaching to you, that is not God's minister. That pimp, he's getting his reward. I'm not mean, nor am I unloving. As a matter of fact, I love you enough to tell you the truth. But I want to thank you for tuning in to Ram Radio Live tonight because it has been a privilege just being here with you. You know, just to be able to talk to you, share with you God's good word, and to know that that good word can redeem you if you allow it. Thank you so much. Tomorrow night, Romans the book. Good night.